Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. One of the best new traditions in sports is coming up again. The NHL Winter Classic, which marries the magic of pond hockey with some of sport's grandest stages. This year, original six rivals, the Boston Bruins and Montreal Canadiens, are playing on New Year's Day at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. There's almost a century of backstory to consider whenever these teams meet, especially this year. The run-up to the big game is the subject of a documentary series on Epics called Road to the NHL Winter Classic, which kicks off Wednesday at 10 p.m. and continues for the next 3 weeks.
And it's been a rivalry for a long time.
There's something unique about this year's Classic. I think it's going to be like nothing the NHL's seen before.
The series is being produced by television sports pioneer Ross Greenberg, who spent 33 years at HBO Sports, including 11 as its president. He now runs his own production company out of Westchester County. Ross Greenberg, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thanks for having me, Ian.
We called you right during the editing. What are you working on today?
Yeah, well, today we're working on turning about 200 hours into about 56 minutes of television is what we're doing, and it's not an easy task. Basically, we have four edit rooms going right now. All the footage is being fed back from Boston, Montreal. We were in Detroit yesterday for that game, and it's just nonstop here, and it just never ends. We just screened the first 5 minutes of the show, made some minor changes. We're in the middle of cutting the game between the Canadiens and Boston from Wednesday night, which kicks off our show, and putting together features on Chara, who walked the North End with us yesterday, and we're just going full barrel here, just trying to get this show complete. We know the kind of format that we need to put together, and we know the storylines are developing. Obviously, Montreal's in a little bit of a skid. The Bruins are playing great hockey, focusing on guys like, you know, Marchand, Chara, and Bergeron, and even spend a little time with Bergeron and his new family. So we're having some fun.
What does it mean to be a producer in your line of work? I mean, what does your actual day-to-day job look like?
Well, I mean, content and editorially, I just have to kind of feel the flow of the storylines and you know, put together the best team possible to not only shoot in the field with people like Pete Francella and Steve LeMay and others, but also line up the best producers in the field so we deal with the two teams. I have to interconnect with the NHL and the two teams to make sure that we're not getting in the way, but we are getting what we need in terms of, you know, coaches putting on microphones and all the shot making happening in the field. And then, of course, in the edit room, which is where I base myself, I have to kind of keep the workflow going and make sure that, you know, the schedule is in line and we're going to complete the 55 minutes or 56 minutes of show on time by next Tuesday morning. We have to show it to the leagues and the league and also the teams. And then on Wednesday night, we have to be on the air.
So is there a chance you'll be editing and making changes right up until the last minute?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we do the narration on Tuesday night between 5 and 7:30, and then overnight we mix the entire show. And by probably 10 a.m. in the morning on Wednesday, the show's complete and ready to do what we call deliverables, which is put all the different versions of the show out to all the different networks and everyone else that needs a copy of it. There are changes right up until the last minute. There have been times when we've, you know, delivered the show at 4 p.m. and it's been on the air, you know, 5 hours later, 4 hours later.
Why do you think the Winter Classic is so compelling for sports fans?
Yeah, I think the idea at its core is brilliant, to go outdoors into massive stadiums, and you have to credit John Collins when he was here and Gary Bettman, of course, for having the vision to kind of see that was a wonderful day and a wonderful game. But then to plant the spectacle on New Year's Day was ingenious, because I think just as college football has kind of lost its luster, except for the Rose Bowl on that day, if you think about it, unless you're connected to one of those colleges in those other three bowls, that day was ripe to be taken. And the NHL has put, you know, that outdoor game right on New Year's Day and has captured the hearts and minds of Americans and Canadians. So, you know, I just think it's hit, and the timing was perfect. And lo and behold, now we have two teams that can't stand each other. So you've got, you know, a hell-bent rivalry going, and it's just the perfect game for this matchup. And we're having a great time kicking off our show with the first time, well, actually the second time these two teams have played in the regular season. December 9th was the game up in Montreal. We were there, and that's how we're going to kick off the show, to kind of show the kind of rivalry that exists between these two teams and these two cities.
You mentioned earlier having, you know, hundreds of hours that are going to have to be boiled down to 56 minutes. How do you identify storylines, whether it's something you're doing in this particular case with the road to the NHL Winter Classic or all of the other kind of sports docs you've helmed over the years?
I think it's just having a feel journalistically, like, you know, when Carey Price went down with an injury and Gallagher went down with an injury, to know that you had to follow that story and to see Mike Condon kind of surface as their starting goaltender, who happens to live, was brought up 15 minutes from Gillette Stadium. So you just kind of have to be on the lookout for those kinds of stories and then execute and develop them. You know, we plan on trying to get to Condon's house with his family for Christmas so that we can kind of wrap that story together. If Price had never gotten injured, obviously that wouldn't have developed. But once you see something happen, you have to kind of pounce on it. Char is a very intriguing personality, you know, and it's fascinating to kind of follow him at the tail end of his career during the season, to kind of get a focus on him. And so his connection with the city is fascinating. So taking him around the North End is kind of a cool thing to do, and we had a great shoot with them yesterday, and we want to kind of explain what it is to be that grizzled veteran who's seen it all and is winding down his career, you know, as he makes his way through another regular season.
We're speaking with Ross Greenberg about the Epix Presents Road to the NHL Winter Classic, which debuts Wednesday night at 10 ahead of the big game on New Year's Day. You mentioned that you have to get, you know, the footage kind of cleared through both teams and get cooperation from the league and so on. Has that process changed in the time that you've been working in locker rooms and with leagues to do shows like this?
No, I find it all very similar, as a matter of fact. You know, I tend to kind of err on the side of caution and trying to protect the trust, because I go in with my first meetings to the teams and to the league and to whoever I'm dealing with, and explain that unless we have that trust between our shooters and producers in the field and in the edit room and the and those teams, then we don't have anything. We have to have that trust. They have to trust that we're not going to embarrass or humiliate them as a team, and they have to also trust us that we're professionals, we're not going to get in the way of their preparation for games and practices or whatever they have to do on a daily basis as professional organizations. But we too are professionals, and they, you know, we have to trust that they're not going to sabotage, you know, the makings of our show. And there's a balancing act there. You know, if someone wants to refuse wearing a mic, you know, give them the day off, fine. Try to compensate for it, get the sound from the coach somehow, some way. But if you're not able to do that, then I have to kind of put a little more pressure on the teams to kind of get us back in. You know, we're embedded. We appreciate that this is an odd ask during the regular season. But this, you know, the NHL's done a great job of backing us up, and all these leagues have done a great job because they see the power of this program. You know, that they see that fans can't get enough of it if it's done well, and the teams come out looking great because, you know, their philosophies, the philosophies of the coaches, come through loud and clear in these shows, and it kind of humanizes all these professional athletes, and it really speaks to the people, and they just love it, and we love making it, tell you the truth.
You know, people who watch the industry have talked for the last few years about sort of a death knell for sports media, because the players are more accessible over social media than they've ever been before. And you've got operations like Derek Jeter's Players Tribune that are trying to do an end run around the day-to-day sports writers and so on. Do you think that's overblown?
I think so, because basically I think it just adds to the, you know, potential for journalistic access to teams, players, and you know, I think that the American public knows when they're being kind of shilled, and you know, that's not the purpose of our show. You know, our task is to put an honest representation of what's going on daily with these two teams or anything, any professional organizations we're following. So it's very important to us to kind of showcase that. And I think most people, whether they're delivery systems on the internet or on television or on radio, you know, once they get the access to the player, they want to be able to kind of shape it, mold it, and editorially attack a story. And I think that players will try to end run it and will maybe go to a Tribune and get their point of view across. But, you know, the American public knows when it's coming from that player, and they understand that it's their point of view, you know, and their perspective, and not the kind of journalistic perspective.
Mm-hmm. Certainly at HBO, a lot of in-depth reporting and investigative reporting happened on Real Sports and continues to. Have there been times in your career where access to leagues and players has been threatened because of, you know, some of the work that was being done?
Well, yeah. I mean, there were some times when I was at HBO that you know, a certain piece would hit the air and I'd get a call from then-Commissioner Bud Selig or Roger Goodell or David Stern. They would, you know, they'd watch the show, they'd watch the piece, and if they had objections and felt like we weren't really telling both sides of the stories, I'd hear about it. And I think they always treated me professionally, though, and I listened to them. And if they were right, I would agree with them. And we'd take steps to make sure that either A, we never did it again, or we corrected our mistake. But for the most part, I think I had gained their trust as treating every story from two sides. At times, I had to kind of hone in on my producers to make sure we were telling both sides, because there's a natural kind of tendency for a producer of a magazine piece to kind of go for what is a more entertaining editorial version rather than the kind of hit both sides of the story issue. So, you know, that was a balancing act at times, even internally. But for the most part, I think there's an appreciation. You know, I always harken back to the great Rune Arledge, who really, really taught the leagues that they had to be treated journalistically, even if you were paying hundreds of millions of dollars for the rights to air their games. I think today, sometimes, you know, the leagues bully, and other times they just kind of understand the job of the journalist.
Where do you keep 53 Emmys?
I'm getting that question a lot, I guess, as the number rises. I keep half in my office and half at home, and I actually gave a couple to two cousins down in Houston, Texas, Philip and Jeffrey Wise, who display them in their offices. And when people walk in, one's in insurance and one's in oil, and when they walk in their office, they see these Emmys, and they kind of quizzically say, "Where'd you get that?" So I'm going to find places for all 53. But someday, my big worry is that when it's all said and done and I'm gone, that, you know, my wife just throws them all out. So I have to start distributing to family.
And when this face-off finally comes on New Year's Day, will there be a, you know, sense of relief? Is there a monkey off your back at that point?
Not quite, because we have to turn around that game
right,
and air it, you know, 5 days later. So, yeah, not quite. But I will say that once that puck drops, at least I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. I'd say January 6th is when I can kind of breathe again. And once we get into the flow in shows 2 and 3, it starts to kind of, you know, travel well and we can get a handle on this series. But this first show, the anticipation of airing this first show is always tough, you know, because it's like you're starting all over again, even though I have the same personnel from years of doing this at the helm, it still feels like a new beginning.
Well, the show is the Road to the NHL Winter Classic, and it airs on Epics and Epics.com, NHL.com, and BostonBruins.com. We've been speaking with the producer of the program, Ross Greenberg, who also spent 33 years at HBO Sports and was its president for 11 years. Ross, good luck with the production, and we'll be looking forward to watching.
I can't wait for all of you to watch. Thanks, Ian.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.